let's look at everything going on out in the world in a zoomed out perspective, a macro perspective, if you will. And let's look at some of the root causes. In fact, there's one major root cause, and it's really the only root cause. But people are stressed. People are looking over their shoulder more than ever. People are taking steps to protect themselves and their loved ones and their stuff. And, hey, listen, out in just general everyday world system society, things are pretty dicey. So what are people really looking for? And what's the root cause of all this stress? Is it just the threat, or is it the fear of it? And it's the fear of danger. And really, in the book of Hebrews, if we want to get right down to it, and let's be scripturally accurate as possible, but not like be boring about it. But in the book of Hebrews, it's very plain that it talks about, in verse 14 of chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews, it talks about Jesus being incarnate and that he was partook of flesh and blood. And he says that through death, he might destroy him, you know, through his death, his dying on the cross, and through his spiritual death, not just his physical death, he might destroy him or render completely ineffective him that had power over of death, that is the devil. And that's Hebrews 2:14. And it says, and so that's not all of it. Not only to destroy the devil and the power of death, it said, deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It wasn't just some kind of plain Jane fear. It was the fear of death. The fear of being cut off from life. The fear of having your life snuffed out. And then also being cut off from the Almighty. Whether people want to admit it or not, there is a tangible, real, actual fear of being cut off from everything good forever. Whether people want to admit it or not, that fear of death is a driving, real, tangible, actual thing in the lives of anyone who has not, who does not have a blood covenant, best friendship connection with God. So let's keep that in mind. And you know what? We could look, if we wanted to diagnose, which we don't, you know, won't take the time to do, but you can do this on your own. Ask the boss, ask God, your best friend, and say, hey, look, sir, show me in my life where fear, for learning purposes, in times past and even currently, show me where fear has influenced me in the past so I can recognize it, and show me where it may be influencing me now. Cause me to see where fear is working. Cause me to see where fear is working against me in my mind and in my life. Does that make sense to you? Does that help you locate? That's what we want to have happen. We want to locate. It's not just a fear or a fear of sharks. Or listen, we're not, you know, sharks or whatever. It's not the fear of sharks. It's the fear of death. It's not the fear of murder. It's the fear of death. That's what's influencing behind the scenes. And we want to talk about the counter to that. We want to talk about the cure for that tonight. And we want to answer some questions. Listen, let's just flat out ask it. You know, people talk about like, well, when it's your time, you know, and God took that person, or, you know, we don't understand and God moves in mysterious ways and these come out at funerals. Listen, we're trying to, in those moments of loss and shock and things like that, we're trying to answer questions with no information of things we just heard, you know, 50 years ago, 30 years ago from our grandmother or at a funeral somewhere. And we don't have any training. We don't have any information. We don't have any covenant information from God, our best friend, to answer those questions at those moments. So we just come up with like a good sounding guess that, you know, pats somebody on the head. But let's just come at it straight. Does God want us safe? And does he want to take an active role in keeping us safe? Because it looks like calamity sometimes just shows up and just takes whoever it wants, like it's some apex predator. If something negative happens, is it just our time? Will God protect you and I? Especially you and I who have made an all-in, all-the-time commitment with him, embraced his friendship and his salvation, and made Jesus boss of our life forever. Not just 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. I mean, he is the boss every day, all day, you know, forever. Because, you know, there's nobody better than him. I mean, who better? He's the best, and he's awesome, and he's not a dictator, and he's not a tyrant. His commandments, I like what the Bible says, are not grievous. They're joyful. Anything he's telling us to do as a boss is for our benefit. And he's also not only our boss, he's our elder brother and best friend. Yes, I'm so excited already. But listen to this scripture. We'll just jump off with this waypoint here. Psalm 91, verse 16. Psalm 91, verse 16. We're going to read some more from Psalm 91 later. But look at this in the 16th. It's the last verse in Psalm 91. It said, with long life, and listen, God is speaking here. He said, with long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? He's talking about, and we're going to get into it later, someone who's made the choice to make God their refuge and place of safety. He's talking about that person. Because in the very first verse, it talks about, you know, he that dwells in the secret place. We're going to talk about what that is. And of the Most High shall abide under, or shall abide, or shall dwell in underneath a covering of safety. And the next thing it says, that this person who is in that particular place said and did something from his heart. He made a commitment and he voiced out words. Again, we're going to read later, but I'm just on a roll here. I'm on a roll. So he says, for I will say of the Lord, this is the person speaking now. This is the human. The person who the Lord's talking about later says, I will satisfy him, or this person. This person said something from their heart, and that person said this in Psalm 91, verse 2. For I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God, and in him will I trust. Do you hear that he's made a commitment of how he puts God in his life and how he allows and who he allows God to be in his life? It wasn't by accident. It was on purpose. It was a decision, but it's also a relationship. And not just kind of a relationship. You're allowing someone to be something in your life. Well, we wouldn't know we could allow God to be that in our life if we didn't have something confident to go on or to put confidence in. And that's his holy covenant in blood. That is his oath, verbalized, sworn in blood, that displays not only what he wants to do, it also displays his motive or what he will do because he wants to do it. Does that make sense to everybody? Let me say that again a little bit slower. The covenant showcases and displays, makes clear for all eternity, not only what God will do, his promise, his this is what I will do, his commitment, but it also shows clearly how much he wants to do it. His motive. He's motivated to do what he said. But, well, don't just say but, because that sounds like I'm canceling it out. Along with that, he's not going to force it on anyone. It's a willing commitment between two parties. God's not forcing anything on you. People think that having the gospel preached to them is, well, don't preach to me. What they really are saying, don't force that on me. Hey, listen, we're not forcing anything on anybody. Other religions do that. You know, convert, you infidel, or we'll kill you. Well, that's by force. That's a fear and manipulation tactic. No, what does God do? This is what I want to do. And here's why, because I am absolutely eternally committed to you. Now you decide what you want to do. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and proclaim the good news that I'm alive and I've cut a covenant in my own blood Any man who and woman and child who wants to get in on it will have all the benefits that I do and will enjoy the same best friendship with God that I have. Wow. But then he says this, those who believe will get it, and those who won't get it. Meaning you're leading them to a place of decision, but that decision is sacredly and God protected that it's up to each individual person. God's not taking away anybody's choice. So the person who God gets to satisfy with long life and show his salvation to them is a person who's allowed him to. It's not accidental. It's not someone gets it and some don't. We don't know who is the specially selected safe people. That doesn't produce confidence. This is for anyone who will get it. I like how Jesus said it in the King James Version. He said, whosoever will. This is for anyone who, he's excited about doing it for anyone who will allow him to. Amen. And let me tell you, I haven't experienced all of it. I've experienced some of it and a little bit of it. But the little bit that I have is so good. I want to enjoy more and more and as much as I can before I leave this earth. I can tell you this, having a conversation with one of my closest friends, my youngest son's godfather. Do you know what's exciting? When you can go a whole week and nothing negative happens to you. And we'll talk, and he and I will get on the phone and say, hey, you know what happened this week? I'm like, what? And he'll say, nothing negative. Like literally nothing negative. People all around you are having constant complaint. And they're valid too. You know, this goes wrong, this happens, and this, and it's one, and like, it's just one thing after another. Well, we're not making fun. Those are valid. But do you know that that doesn't necessarily have to happen to you? And God will do it for anybody. He will literally do it for anyone who will let him. And he'll do it for you. Want to hear a scripture that lets you know that he will actually do it for you? This is in the book of Acts, chapter 10, and in verse 34. Now, Peter, not just the apostle, but the groundbreaking apostle. Acts chapter 10, in verse 34, Peter gets up and hears this story about this Roman who has an angel. He's a Roman centurion and has an angel appear to him. And the angel says, go get Peter. And he's over here in this town, this place, and go over there and ask him to come here. He's going to tell you some words that you and all your house may get in on this. And so he doesn't wait. He's like, yes, sir, we're going. He gets him and Peter comes back and hears this whole story. And Peter says this, verse 34 of Acts chapter 10. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive or I know for myself now that God is no respecter of persons. One translation of no respecter of persons means he shows no favoritism. Well, how can someone who shows his favor, Psalms 5:12 that he surrounds us with his favor as a shield, but show no favoritism. Here's the answer. He will treat anyone who will let him like they're his favorite. And he is so good and has so much, he can treat all of us like we're his favorite. Ooh, that's so good, man. Come on. That's exciting. But he'll do it for anybody. That means you can flush any of the comparison junk. Hey, listen, I'm talking to myself too, because sometimes in ministry, it's easy to look at people who are more outwardly successful and think it's just the haves and the have-nots. That's just worldly thinking creeping in. That's just some pressure. Just being, you know, I'm just shooting straight with you. God's no respecter of persons. He shows no favoritism. He'll treat me and he'll treat you exactly the same as he treats Jesus, and he won't even make the lights flicker in Columbus, Ohio. You know what I mean? Like, it won't even cause the lights to dim in heaven a little bit. He can do it, man. And he wants to do it. Okay, so let's get back to this. Let me read you something. And just make a note of it in your notes so you can go back. And I say just make a note of it in your notes. I mean that. Just write it down. Put it in your notepad, on your phone, whatever you're doing, you know, you're taking notes with. Write this down and go look at it later. Or you can not only write it down, but go into your Takata Bible app and follow along with me, or in your hard copy Bible and make a highlight with a highlighter. Psalm 18. Let's start in verse 1. We're going to read a couple passages. We're not going to read the whole chapter just for the sake of time. But let's look in verse 1. It says, I will. So this is a decision. And this is how you love, not only love God, but this is how you love anybody. You make a decision. You don't accidentally feel like you love God. You decide you love him. Because you know why? A decision can't be taken away from you. Feelings could. I just don't feel like I love the Lord today. Or I just don't feel like I love my spouse today. It ain't no feeling. It's a decision. I want you to remember this too. Psalm 23 verse 1. From the Passion Translation. Remember what it says? We say it frequently, but with good reason behind it. It said, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. And I always have more than enough. Well, whenever you hear Lord, we're about to read, we're going to stop and say, the Lord, my best friend. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my best friend, my strength. The Lord, my best friend, is my rock and my fortress. Do you know what a fortress is? It's a shielded and protected place that you're safe from danger in. Whether it's a persecution, an attack, a threat, a plague, you're in a fortress. And he also says, my deliverer or my rescuer, that when I do get into a troubled spot and I'm surrounded on all sides, he gets me out of it. My God, one way to translate the word God is my source. This person's my source. My strength in whom I will trust. So trust is a decision. This is all going to come back later. So we're just mentioning these things as we go. My buckler, or it's a smaller shield. It's a precision shield. And the horn of my salvation and my high tower. What's a high tower? It's an elevated position where you're above the fray. Hey, listen, we're not acting like danger and threats and calamity and the things to be safe from don't exist. Oh, goodness, we know they exist. We know they exist. Jesus even said, in this world, you shall have some trouble. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have conquered the world. Now, when he says world, don't think the people. He means the system. He means the world and all the danger in it. All the darkness, all the trouble, he's conquered it. Amen. In verse 3, it says, I will call upon the Lord. And he's worthy to be praised, it says. Now, listen, let's just stop there. You don't have to sing hymns. Now, if you know them, great, sing them and mean them. And you don't have to talk churchy when you praise God. But you can do it from your heart and tell him how wonderful he is. And how awesome he is. And it means the world to him, and it is profoundly helpful to our daily, everyday Christianity. To our everyday walking with him in best friendship. To stop throughout the day and remind ourselves out loud and tell him, you are just so awesome. There's nothing bigger than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing more powerful than you. You are the big one. You are the big and almighty God. And you're my best friend. And you're my dad. And I love you. That's good. Amen. And it says that he's worthy of it. And he is. He deserves it. Oh, goodness, he deserves it. So it says, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Listen, he said, I'll call. How could he be so profoundly confident? Because he had a covenant. And one of those covenant promises in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, this is God speaking through his messenger, Moses. And this is just one of many, but how could this person be so confident that when he calls on or when he makes a request of the Lord, remember, his best friend, that he'll be saved and rescued from his enemies? Now, don't think enemies just as in people. That's part of it. but also the enemies of darkness, and the chief number one enemy, Satan, and the fear of death. There's a lot more enemies than just nasty people being ugly. No, there's, how about this? There's poverty. There's lack. There's anxiety and depression. Those are enemies. Those are enemies. How about this? Sickness and disease. Ailments. COVID. They're real. And they're enemies. How about this? Confusion. Sudden terror. All those things are enemies. So look at this in verse 7 of chapter 28. It says, the Lord will cause. He will be the one that makes it happen. Thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. Now, do we do the smiting? No, he does. This is his personal guarantee. This is his statement of will, of what he not only will do, but what he wants to do. He says, they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. So this man has the audacity to actually act like God's telling the truth. So let's do the same. Let's act like the Bible's true. He said, I'm going to call upon the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. And I'll be saved from my enemies. He said, the sorrows of death compass me and the floods of ungodly men. And the flood of me. Just, listen, he's talking about a flood of ungodly men. Listen, sometimes one's enough. He's talking about just being crushed under a flood of ungodly men against him. And he said, made me afraid. He had a fear moment. The sorrow. Hey, listen. Just because you have a fear moment doesn't mean you have to stay there. He said, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. He said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried unto my God. And in my distress, I called on my best friend and I cried unto my God. And he heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came to him, even into his ears. He's just shooting straight with us. He's just making it plain that he had trouble and it bothered him. It messed with him. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, talks about a fear has torment. He was tormented by it. But he took it to God. Remember who we're taking it to? His blood covenant, best friend, and his source. That's who he gets all of his help from. All of his support from, all of his supply from. We'll skip down to verse 17. He delivered, he rescued me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. So, will God, when you're overwhelmed with something that's just too much for you, will he rescue you from it? What's the answer? Absolutely. What do we do with this? Number one, we do this. You ready? I believe that. I decide I believe that with all my heart. That's what we do. We make a decision about it. And we say it out loud because we're going on record before heaven and earth. I decide I believe it. He said, they prevented me, or they confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord, my best friend, was my stay. The word stay means support. I had all the support I needed in the Lord, my best friend. Isn't that awesome? Said he brought me forth into a large place. Do you know what you get when you're in a large place? It's quiet. There's no more trouble there. And trouble can't find you there. He rescued me because he, this is verse 19, he delighted in me. And as we said before, no respecter of persons. Just like he delighted in the writer of this psalm, he delights in you. And he delights in me. How do we know that? Because he told us that he loved us through his messenger. Number one, his firstborn. At the time, the only born, but only begotten. But through his son, Jesus, who's now our elder brother and best friend and our master, our boss. We were told and we were shown. Man, I'm telling you, that's such good news. Thank you, God. that's comforting news. That settles you down on the inside. And yeah. I'm saying out loud for myself. He loves me. And say it out loud for yourself. Say, he loves me. He's protecting me. He's my best friend. And I'm his best friend. Thank you, God. All right. Verse 31. For who is God save the Lord, our best friend? Or who is a rock? Who is a strong, safe place save our God? People talking about making schools and libraries and universities and campuses and other places, safe places. And like, this is a safe place. This is a safe place. Hey, listen, man. If it's set up by a man, and I mean a human, it is not a safe place. It's maybe safer, but the only safe place is in God, our best friend, in the Lord. That's the only reliable, safe place. So why put your confidence in anything else? And also, why put your confidence in anything you can't get to in time? God's already said on record, he said, I will never leave them nor forsake them. That's in Deuteronomy, Joshua 1, and Hebrews 13. I'll never leave them nor forsake them. Then, hey, your safe place is with you every moment of every day for all eternity. You're in the safe place. You're with him, and he's with you. Isn't that awesome? You are in the best friend spot. Connected and blood covenant bonded to Jesus himself. Where he is, you are. By blood covenant inheritance. And by appointment. That's such good news. That means all this applies to you. It means all of this applies to you. I don't care what some denomination or some well-meaning person with that ended up being used of darkness to confuse you and talk you out of something. This means that every single promise in this book that's good applies to you and me. Verse 46. And this is where we'll leave off with this chapter. In the next three verses, it says, the Lord liveth. My best friend is alive and well. Blessed be my rock. So God's gone from, in this chapter, God's gone from just being the rock to being his rock. Well, how do I make that jump, dude? Easy. You decide that not, you believe that he's not only the rock, you decide that he's your rock. How do I do that? Sir, you're the rock. I believe you. I decide, as for me, you are my rock. You are my safety. You are my defender. I'm going to hit danger and trouble. That's too much for me. But it's easy for you. And you'll keep me and you'll rescue me. He said, let the God of my salvation be exalted. Verse 47, it is God that avenges me and subdues the people under me, or his enemies. He delivers me, verse 48, from my enemies. Aren't you glad to know that God rescues you from all your enemies? Again, don't just think with our programmed minds, people. He rescues us from darkness, depression, trouble, sickness, disease, attack, confusion, anxiety, all of it. All of it. He said, yea, you lift me up above. Now, who does the lifting? God does. Who gets lifted? You and me. He said, gets lifted up. Thou shalt lift me up above those that rise up against me. You have delivered and rescued me from the violent man. Hey, listen, if any of you are maybe bothered by the ideas of terrorist attacks or mob attacks or whatever it may be, violence suddenly overwhelming you, this covers it. You rescue me from the violent man. This isn't just one time. This is yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 49, therefore will I, so here's how you and I, this is a step we can take to cooperate with this. He said, therefore will I, this is a decision, give thanks unto thee, O Lord, my best friend, among the heathen, and send praises to your name. We can begin to thank God and act like it's true. Oh, God. Hey, listen, it doesn't have to be churchy. I don't mean churchy as in like we're making fun of the church of Jesus's body, the church. I mean culturally churchy. It doesn't have to be flowery or, and fake. Just say thank you. God, I'm so thankful. Thank you. You rescued me from violence. You saved me from danger. Anything that attacks me, you get me out of it and you keep me safe. Thank you. We're acting like this is true. We're acting like this covenant is real and it's true. Thank you, sir. I'm so thankful for this. You're awesome and you're keeping me. You're protecting me. Amen. Well, let's look at a couple things in the time we have left. I think we have some good time here. Yeah. I'm going to read a couple things to you. Just write these down. You can either try to follow along. I'm going to move kind of quick. But just make a note of them. Psalm 4, verse 8. Psalm 4, 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For you, Lord, my best friend, only makest me dwell in safety. He realized that God was the only one, his Lord, his boss, his master, his best friend in blood covenant, was the only one who would cause him to live in safety. He's the only one. He put all of his trust in God to be his safety. Well, he's a king. He's got chariots and horses. Hey, listen, he knew. He knew that all those things could be defeated or could be moved around. An assassin could find his way into the palace, whatever you want to say. He knew that the Lord was the only, his best friend in blood covenant, was the only reliable thing that would make him dwell in safety. Amen. Psalm 61, verse 3. Psalm 61, 3. For you, or thou hast been a shelter for me. What's a shelter? It's a place of confident safety. It's a place of confident safety. You ever seen in a romantic comedy, all of a sudden, you know, the couple is out and they're having a nice romantic night, and all of a sudden the sky opens up and it begins to just absolutely pour down rain. And they take refuge underneath an awning of some kind of shop or, you know, late night restaurant or bakery. What are they doing? They're taking shelter. And what do? They laugh, they giggle. They feel safe now from that rain. God is our shelter. He's who we decide to take refuge in, and not just take refuge in, confident safety. He said, you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Verse 4, I will abide, or I will live in your tent forever. He said, I'm sticking with you. I'm staying here. I'm living with you. He said, I will trust in the covert. I will trust in the covering of your wings. Man, listen, this is humility. We are realizing we are mortal beings who are only just so much capable, but that God is whom we take our refuge under. God, and he said, cover of your wings. He's saying, you are the mother hen, and I am a innocent little chick, and you cover me and protect me. You spare my life, and it's all by your strength and by your love. He recognized it. Psalms 119, it said, verse 117, Psalm 119, verse 117, it said, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. I will have respect unto thy statutes, unto your words, unto your covenant statements, continually. They go together. Placing value and respect on these promises and on these statements from God goes hand in hand with him holding us up and keeping us safe. We can't hear these and then forget them and then wonder why we have less than optimal results. No, we have to decide that these statements and these words of God, our best friend, are of great value to us, and that they help us, and that they are our life, they are our daily bread, as Jesus said. But he said, you'll hold me up and you'll keep me safe, and I will continually respect and value the words that come out of your mouth. Isn't that wonderful? Proverbs chapter 1. Now, in the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, wisdom begins to speak, and the writer is making wisdom into a character that has a voice. But it's the voice of God speaking, because he is the wise one. And it says, whoso hearkens to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Listen to that. Whoso listens to me. Listen, you can go online to our training section, to the training courses, and you can go to the sections on beginning to listen to and hear and follow the Holy Spirit. The number one is following him, and then it talks about hearing his voice. We're not going to be in optimal safety. Let's use that as our, for the sake of our study, optimal safety, top level, nothing better, safety, and ignore what God is saying to us. Following him day to day, checking with him. Listen, we're not doing anything weird or out there. We're checking with him. We're checking with him in that inner radio inside of our heart. In the 8th chapter of Romans, in the 14th verse, talks about those that are led, or those that allow the Holy Spirit to lead them, are taking their place as mature sons and daughters of God. What does that mean? The more we allow ourselves to follow, and day by day, and everything big and small. What do you need me to do when I get up tomorrow? Where do I go next? Do I take this way to work? Take that way? You're just constantly checking with him what he's saying about it. And you're listening. You're listening. Listen, ideas will come up, maybe the night before work. Go this way tomorrow. And it won't be a, yea, thus saith the Lord, go this way. But you'll be thinking about going a different way to work tomorrow. You know what? I think I'll take that different way to work tomorrow, especially when it comes back 3, 4, 5 times. 3, 4, 5 times. And you think about taking that route to work. Well, then you know what? Let me think about that. Sir, is that you saying that to me? What's he doing? He's broadcasting a signal. He's giving you something to follow. And he's doing it to spare you and keep you safe and help you out. We're just using that as an example. But to have optimal safety also means that we need to be listening to him. Listen, have no fear about making a mistake. Take a deep sigh of relief. This is a best friend. This is the best friend. Treat him like a best friend, because he's treating you like a best friend. If you don't get it the first time, he'll help you. He's going to keep broadcasting. He's going to keep letting you know. He's going to keep that idea coming up to you. He's going to keep that thought, that impression, that signal coming back to your inner self, your heart, your spirit. He's letting you know. He's keeping you safe. I heard a story once, and this is a great illustration. A woman called the prayer line to the school and institution where I was at getting my ministry training. And she was just absolutely distraught. I mean, just absolutely in hysterics. She'd been mugged, and she'd been down in the city wherever she was, and she got mugged. Some yahoo hit her in the head, took her purse. And she's like, well, why did God let that happen? And and to his credit, the individual helping her was like, I don't know. And so, as he was sitting there listening to her, he's checking inside with the Lord, you know, what should I say to her? And he began to have an idea. He said, ma'am, what were you doing there? He's like, well, you know, and she didn't want to answer. And so the more he kind of coaxed her into being honest, he found out that, you know, she'd had a signal to not go there all day long. Like, don't go there. Don't do it. Don't. She said, I just knew I wasn't supposed to go. She said, but I quote all these safety scriptures. I quote them. I believe him. Well, it was working. God was telling her, don't go down there. Don't go there. Here's your safety tip. Don't do that.
That's a technique.
Don't do that. Doctor, why does it hurt when my arm goes like this? Don't make your arm go like that. So, we're not making light of her calamity and her situation, but was God doing his job? Absolutely. He's telling her, don't go. But by overriding it and ignoring it, it caused her to not be in optimal safety. Now, listen, why didn't it work? It did. She's still alive. She's got a lump on her head, and she may have lost some money and has to get her driver's license and credit cards replaced, but she's still here. Could have killed her. And not just killed her. She could have been violated in some way. But other than a lump on the head and some grief, she's okay. Was that God's best? No, 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 no. He was trying to get over to her. Hey, don't go down. Hey, listen. Hey, honey, go. Don't do that. Don't go down there. We trust him for our safety. We trust him for our safety, but we also listen to him to lead us and guide us through our daily life safely. We trust him for safety, and he leads us safely. Boy, that's a great statement. Say it with me. Here we go. I trust him for my safety. I also trust him that he leads me safely. Do you hear that? He's keeping me safe all day long, but he's also guiding me through life safely. Amen. And let's hear it one more time before we move on. Whoso listens to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Isn't that good news, man? Be quiet from it. Do you know there is people all over this planet that are craving to be quiet from the anxiety and the fear and the torment of evil of all kinds? But he says we can have it all day long. Aren't you glad? Isn't that wonderful? Listen, Psalm 23:4, a passage of scripture that we continually go back to, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That sounds like we're walking through something that where there's danger all around. He said, I will fear no evil, and here's why, because you're with me. And your rod and your staff comfort me. Your weapons of the weapons of a shepherd, the weapons of a shepherd comfort me. You're keeping me safe. In the previous verses, it says that you lead me in paths of righteousness and you lay me down beside still waters and you lead me in the green pastures. What's he doing? I'm following you and you're keeping me safe. He knows he's a sheep, and he knows also, especially David who wrote it, who knew there are bears, wolves, and lions out there ready to eat an innocent little sheep. He knows without you being my shepherd, I'm done. But I've got you and you've got me. And you're guiding me through this dangerous world. But I fear. He said he makes a decision to not fear. The things that God has promised us and said to us give us the right to decide to not be afraid. And that's another step to take. That's another decision to make to cooperate with this safety, is to decide to fear not. We don't have time in this block of instruction to dig in on that, but it is an absolutely vital part of cooperating with his safety and cooperating with his covenant, that we make the decision, not only once and for all, but anytime fear comes up, I refuse to fear because you're with me. I refuse to fear because you're with me. Now listen, it's not only the danger that we're protected and made safe from. It's the fear and anxiety and worry of it. Listen, the threat is bad enough. But what about the threat, the actual physical threat of disease or violence or tragedy or other things? It's also what's actually is worse than that is the mental torment of it. I heard one of my instructors, elders in the faith, say this one time, that the Lord spoke to him and said, son, what's worse than cancer of the brain? He was, oof. He said, sir, I can't think of anything worse than that. He said the Lord responded to him and said, cancer on the mind. What's worse than the physical presence of cancer in your body is cancer on your mind, like you're thinking about it.
Ugh.
He said he got it. We're not only dealing with something physical, we're dealing with something unseen, the anxiety and the fear and the torment of it mentally. Isaiah chapter 32. Now, again, make a note of this. Isaiah 32, verse 17. This is the Passion Translation, says this. The work of righteousness is peace. And the result. What's righteousness again? It's that God has made us his very best friends in blood covenant. Amen. That he has delegated and transferred to us a friendship and a spot and a place of privilege with him that can never be taken away from us. And it's a place where we're treated as his very best friends. We're treated like Jesus is treated there. Hallelujah. And he said that work of righteousness, that what righteousness does in us, the being made his very best friends, that the fruit of that, what's produced by that is peace. Calm, quiet awareness of strength and his friendship. He said the result of righteousness, of being made his very best friends, is quietness and confidence forever. It can't be taken away from you. Verse 18, he said, my people, my blood covenant best friends, will live free from worry and secure and quiet homes of peace. Look at that. He said that my people will live free from worry. You don't have to worry anymore another day in your life about anything. You decide, I refuse to fear. God's keeping me safe. And I'm listening to him. I'm deciding that I'm listening to him and I'm following his Holy Spirit that dwells in me and lives with me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. Talking about, it isn't just these words in the book of Proverbs. It means all of these covenant words from God. He says, my son, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them. Hold on to them. He said, they'll be life unto your soul and grace to your neck. But look at verse 23. As you hold these things as important in your life and you keep your attention on them, let's keep it practical and keep it in our everyday language. He says, as you hold on to them, pay attention to them, block out the noise, block out the other junk. He said, then you shall walk in your way safely and your foot shall not stumble. It makes a big difference. And listen, I'm preaching to myself because there's any number of dozen of distractions on any given day trying to mess, you know, vie for my attention too. I'm like everybody else. He said that as we hold on to these things and put our attention on them by choice, we'll walk in our way safely and our foot will not stumble. He said, when you lie down, you won't be afraid. Anybody ever gone to bed at night anxious? Oof, it's horrible, man. He said, but the more you hold on to these covenant statements from God, our best friend, we'll lie down and we won't be afraid. He said, yea, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. That's verse 24 of Proverbs 3. 25, he says, be not afraid of sudden fear. So that's a choice then. You'll hear people say, I couldn't help it. Yeah, we could. We could decide because he's with us. He said, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. Listen, you're going to see people all around you. Things are going to happen to them. And we feel for them. And it's bad. But it doesn't apply to you. Oh, it's real. The danger is absolutely real. But you're in blood covenant with God. And that trumps everything else. You and I are in a blood covenant with God. And that trumps everything else. Amen. That supersedes everything else. He said, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be your confidence. And shall the Lord, your best friend, shall be your confidence. And shall keep your foot from being taken. Isn't that awesome? Man, listen, we got a whole bunch more to go, but we're going to call it a night right here on this one. Right, I'm about to read it. Safety is a benefit of being in blood covenant with God. safety is a benefit of being in blood covenant with God and being made his best friend in his son Jesus, our brother and also our best friend. 1 Corinthians 15:57 shows us this. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or another translation says, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, unpack that for me, Dick. Great, glad you asked. We give thanks to God because he gives us the victory. Well, over what? Over all the things that get thrown at us. He gives us the win over that anxious morning that we woke up to. He gives us the win over the fear and the threat of violence and danger. He gives us the win over when people get unreasonably mad at us or suddenly decide we're their enemy and come after us. He gives us the win over all the things that get thrown at us, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. He gives us the victory over it. And notice, through or in, because we are in a blood covenant, the blood covenant that he made with his son Jesus, that we're allowed to be in and that we're joined to, he gives us the victory. Because we're blood covenant best friends with Jesus, we get all of Jesus' benefits. And Jesus isn't losing to depression and fear on a daily basis. No, no, no. He enjoys victory over it. We enjoy victory over it. Victory, or winning, the win, the big W, it also includes victory over danger, every threat, and anything darkness throws at us. I can sense it in my heart. It's not only doing the same thing in me. I trust it's doing the same thing in you. Confidence is growing as we listen to this and hear it. Like, yeah, I don't have to just take it. God, my best friend, gives me victory over it. And it's good when something pops up that's trying to bother you. Listen, big or small, don't just roll over and take it. And you don't have to immediately go to guns and start fighting it. Just remember first thing, I'm not going to be afraid of this because God, my best friend, is with me. And he gives me the victory over this. Hey, listen, simple steps that allow God to give us the victory, that allow God to fight our battles for us, that allow God to protect us and cause us to dwell safely. Simple steps. Father, thank you. You're keeping me safe. Thank you. I dwell quietly from the fear of evil. Thank you. You're helping me. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 says this. Paul's given his protege an account of some things that happened. And he said, but you know him fully. He's reminding him. He said, you know fully, or you know full well my doctrine, how I live, manner of life, my purpose, my faith, you know, my long suffering, my love, my charity, my patience. You've seen it all at work. He said, you also know the persecutions and the afflictions. Paul never hid the fact that persecutions, that people doing things to him and things happening to him with spiritual pressure got thrown at him on a regular basis. He said, which came unto me particularly at Antioch, Iconium, and at Lystra. He said, you know what persecutions I endured. Now listen, he's just shooting straight. He said, you know what happened? You know what happened there? He said, but out of them all, the Lord, our best friend and shepherd, delivered me. He said, yeah, they happened. They popped up. That wasn't the end of the story, though. Listen, I dare say for you listening, you may have not just one, but several things, or maybe one big thing, or a combination thereof. Things getting thrown at you right now. Every reason in the world to be afraid. This is not the end. So what do? You decide to trust God, your best friend. You decide to trust him with your safety. And you say, thank you for keeping me safe. And you give me the victory over this. I like what one scripture says. We've talked about it in time past. It says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. I'm putting my confidence in you. You don't have to know the answer. That's not your job. He knows it. He knows the answer. I decided to trust in you. Thank you for helping me. And he already told you. We spent the better part of an hour telling you exactly what he'll do. He'll lift you up. He'll cause you to dwell safely. He'll fight your battle for you. He'll smite your enemies for you. He said, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Listen, I want you to hear this before we hit the end on this particular segment. We're going to do another one on safety. We're going to do a follow-up part, a second part. But for this introduction, that it's God's will for us to be safe. I want you to hear this. Dying on anything other than our terms, which is satisfied with long life, is not God's best. We don't judge others. Listen, there's believers who have been martyred and gone early and died and had things happen. We understand that. And we're not making less of it or judging them or what happened. We don't know. But we do know this. It is God's best for you and I to live long and to be satisfied with long life and to be shown God's salvation, help, safety, and his rescue from all that would try to trouble us. That's his best. So as we conclude for tonight, we'll pick it up again later. I want you to hear this again. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's Psalm 91. We're under his care. He sees everything going on in our life. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in him will I trust. He says, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the violent, deadly pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you trust. His truth, his word, the words that come out of his mouth shall be your shield and your buckler. You know what that is? It's a big shield and a small shield. That means large and small, he's got your whole life covered and protected. He said, you shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. He said this in verse 9. We're skipping around. We're going to read this more in depth next time. He said, because the Lord, you have made the Lord. When did I make the Lord anything? Back in verse 2, when I decided that he is my refuge and my fortress and my God in whom I trust. He said, because you've made the Lord your best friend, which is my refuge, even the Most High your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, and neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. I want to leave you with that thought. And then also verse 16 again, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isn't that good? Listen, man, we thank God for the opportunity. We thank God for our best friend and our source for the opportunity to be able to share these things with you and to help pass these on to you. Listen, we're not giving you anything that we're just repeating or giving lip service to. I want you to know I'm living on this myself. This is helping me. And because it's helping me, I'm trusting that it's helping you. And this is stuff you can live on. It's got to be simple. You got to be able to act on it. Just act like it's true. This is the blood covenant words of your best friend. And the only thing you need to required to begin to have them go to work in your life is a decision to act like they're true. Father, thank you. These words are true, and I decide I believe them. Amen. All right. Isn't that good? Now, listen. I want you to have God's best in your life, and that's why we do this. There's other people and other groups that also I want to have share these things with. I want them shared with them and help them. You can do that, and you can help us do that. You want to go online to misfittoysociety.com, go to Pay It Forward, and be a part of the team and be a part of the effort to get this word and get this message of God's covenant and his best friendship with us into the lives of other people. Amen. I want to thank God publicly and to all you partners who have been a part of this. Thank you for being a part of it. We pray for you and we thank God for you and that you are blessed because of it. And as God, just like what God said to Abraham, as he's blessed, as you've blessed us, he is blessing you. Amen. We love you and we'll see you soon.